Very good morning. The meeting is opened at 9:30. We have a schedule, and I believe all of us have received the program of the day. Can I get a confirmation from honorable members in particular? Honorable members, we have the schedule of the day, the program. Silence means golden. We are all most welcome. More counselors. Are you okay on that part? Okay, thank you. are now behind, and we had a program yesterday on which, amongst others, the issue of the public service wage bill was on the agenda. So then that meeting got postponed. Now we all know that the wage bill is the biggest part of the financial crisis in government. It's a very important part of the year for this department, and now it's been postponed. And we all know that we are about a week or two not in sitting due to a recessed constituency period. I'm glad to know what was the reason from the department for taking it off the agenda for yesterday, and when exactly will that be coming back to the agenda, because I don't see that we can fall behind anyway on the wage. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Probably the program of the parliamentary committee program is for members of parliament. I would not necessarily believe that the department would have taken out, but just to recap, in our last meeting, we did have a written understanding that we will be then making sure that if it needs to be to meet in an extraordinary day, that we need an application from the House Chair so that we can cover up the activities that we should have engaged on during the current quarter, so to speak. And I thought we were dealing from what I had in my mind is that we are dealing with item number 6. Then we will then present a draft report to help me then catch up on activities that will happen. But I observe NSG, and then we deliberate, and then TSI, we deliberate, and then we take it to the end. However, I must say that, Honourable Members, in the meeting of the last meeting of the committee, we did receive a presentation from the Public Service Commission, which obviously is correct. We have received that one, so we are not expecting that. That's why they are not in the chamber of today's one. Then I will request the Honourable Minister to do an overview so that we can get the conversation.
The fourth quarter training performance is in
improved significantly in comparison to the previous competition due to the concerted team effort and commitment. It therefore resulted in the NSG exceeding its projected annual target, annual training target of 52,600 learners by 64,513 learners. It's a 123 performance achievement. Also, the NSG also instituted the project of dispatching compulsory induction program learning materials that has been paid for by the provincial academies and the national departments, involving 27,600 learners in 5 modules. The school also presented a workshop for 250 managers of the Itikwini Metropolitan Municipality, who were also trained on supply chain management policy. Then, the other highlight with regard to the first quarter, I must acknowledge that the first quarter performance was lower than the previous quarter, but we are also mindful of the historical data that the first quarter training uptake is generally low, influenced by the department finalizing their training plan and performance agreement. The other issue that we want to highlight is that the strategic partnership remains a focal area for the school in terms of the current business and funding model. During this quarter, the NSG concluded a memorandum of agreement with the KZN Copter, KZN Human Settlement, Statistics South Africa, AMSCO, as well as the Independent Development Trust. Also, the NSG is currently finalizing the development of the local government leadership development program, which targets councillors and other elected public representatives in the local government sphere. With your permission, Honorable Chairperson, I'll request the principal to lead in the presentation of the first quarter of the first quarter performance report, including also the first quarter performance report with his team. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Melissa. Good morning. Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning to the Honorable Members. I think the Minister has but perhaps we'll just start to cover the key message, and that is the focus of the presentation, which the Minister has basically covered. But then also, model to the engagement of the National Treasury, of course, that might go to GMA Cluster and the Portfolio Committee. So basically, what we did in terms of that accounting policy put together a project where we dispatched compulsory induction program learning materials that had been paid for by provincial and national departments involving 26,000. And this also helped to increase the number of sessions delivered by provinces and departments. We also used the technology to pursue high volume induction training. And we used a system known as ICAM, the State Department of Health, who were able to deliver induction simultaneously to officials in 13 remote training sites within the province by one training facilitator. Now, this is important in terms of our move to high volume training and trying to beat inaugural launch of the executive induction program for DG, DDG levels, heads of departments in provinces. So that has also got underway now, and we've done another session this last week as well of the executive induction program. We also signed an important memorandum with UNISA, focusing on cooperation in the context of research and other capacity development initiatives. Of course, UNISA globally are masters of distance learning. So again, in terms of opening the doors of learning and culture in the public service through our institution, there's a lot to be gained from that particular partnership. Mercer indicated we presented a workshop for managers in Ekurhuleni Metropolitan Municipality on supply chain matters. And obviously, this is important in terms of the engagements we've had with the committee about extending the reach of the NSE to the local governments here. And we also have three engagements with the Department of Performance Monitoring Evaluation, or Planning Monitoring Evaluation, rather. Concluded an agreement to include an ethics indicator in the management performance assessment tool for 2017. We have a very exciting online e-learning program for ethics in the public service as well. So this is just a graphic depiction of what the minister already indicated about the achievement of 27 against 13 targets. give some of the performance highlights. Some of these relate to the back office systems and the business process mapping for the training functions. This is very important because we can have wonderful programs and good content, but we need to reach, and for that we need to have the ability to deliver training at scale. And that would sort of be one of the problems that we're certainly dealing with. For example, the registers are fully signed by hand. Training is 5 or 10 days, everyone must sign by hand every day, and then those must be collated and brought to national offices, counted manually, entered into a system. So we're trying to, obviously, with the EU funding that we've granted from SEC received, improve that. And that's what the business process mapping is all about. We also reduced the number of days for debt collection, which is important in terms of the revenue side of the trading account. And all our suppliers were paid within 30-day periods. And we also signed an MOU with the American University of Washington, which could also lead to training within the African Management Development Institute network. Training partners in other African countries linked to administration. We had a vacancy rate of 7.5% below the 10% target as well. This just indicates some of the targets that weren't achieved. For example, our internal skills development, we did not achieve. We did a number of training need analysis reports for the Housing Department of Health, and we held a leadership platform on financial literacy as well as intervention on employment in South Africa. We also undertook a number of quality evaluations and are in the process of writing up those reports. And then we also trained over institution is taking up our online ethics course, but we blended it so for culminating a workshop between the NSG and the entire institution. okay, so those are some of the highlights. And then on the revenue side, this one is important because the projected quarterly revenue target is 41.9 million. We generated around 25 million. But basically it is showing that even when we exceed the trading numbers target, doesn't mean we exceed the revenue target, because there are different tariffs for different kinds of programs, and it's very difficult to predict which programs will be in demand in terms of the model which we have, the commercial model. But nevertheless, this does show what the minister highlighted already, and that is the cumulative trading delivery. Target was 52,600, and we managed to achieve 64,513. And this just gives the breakdown on those numbers per trading stream. Performance. The minister did also indicate some of the key issues, and that is that we spent 99% of our budget, and this includes the expenditure for certification, employees, goods and services, household payments, and so on. And then on the trading account, this gives an indication of the lowest balance over the 5 years. So we're moving now to the first quarter, and these are the training targets for the next medium-term expenditure period, and the breakdown of the different programs. So the training targets now significant attention to strengthening our balance. just gives a comparison of first quarter performance. We've also been talking to a number of different departments in Mpumalanga. In terms of our performance is we now have the entire compulsory induction program for salary level 6. So currently do now have 22 courses on e-learning, and this includes managing performance, generally recognized enhancement principles, and we have a new one on financial delegation. Also finalizing the development of the local government leadership development program, we continue to advocate around a modified funding model on the summary of annual performance plan targets. Again, on the revenue side, vacancy rate we already highlighted, it went up slightly from 7.5 to 8.4%, but still within the 10% ceiling that we set ourselves. And the employment equity status remains the same as I spoke to it on the previous quarter. On corporate governance, we improve corporate governance through oversight. Closely monitoring the MPAT tool for compliance, and we scored an outright 4 in the key results area financial management, as well as strategic plan and audit committee, employee health and wellness, and delegation. In conclusion, on funding model, and we are also engaging stakeholders to look at putting together courses on economic social policy. And then, as I emphasized, other parts of the public sector, including all of the states such as Arms Corps, the IDT, and the Financial Services Board, as well as relationships with municipalities. And then international support and recognition in terms of the EU support program. And there is a chance that we will get World Bank funding for the African American Development Institute Network and the other institutions on the continent. And that's public as well. So thank you very much.
Able to or unable to upkeep your month of fee stock. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Funderburk.
Okay, thank you, and Professor, thank you for your presentation. I, of course, training is essential, and no one can deny that. But I believe that in time, the numbers are great, but the quality, when the activity, you say you keep on checking in your war room, etc., etc. How do we keep on a sustainable manner to keep on monitoring that we did get that quality and that it goes on? But my question, Chair, is really about, in accordance with the Rutanang Na'afrika strategy, can we please be informed on what is the number of the current and the prior public servants that have been used as facilitators, and for which programs specifically developed by the school? That's in our original budget explanation on under administration. Chair, then I would also like to know, it states in this document of the budget that we plan to recruit staff to fill the potential vacancy posts, which are expected to increase from the 82 in 2015-16 to 89 over the medium term. Now, with this in mind, it also states that it will have a significant increase in the compensation of employees, which will rise from 44.1 million to 58.4 million over this period. Now, we also know that during the budget vote speech last year, it was made clear that we will find a 25 billion rand saving on the wage bill. With this in mind, how does this affect on that saving of 25 billion rand? Because I think we're in the process getting closer to the wage bill, and this will have an impact then, or are we saying there's no impact? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Mapalson, what are you next?
Thank you, Chair. I would like to the presentation mentioned that there's a debt, like my colleague has said, of 16.6 million, which is older about a year. But the reason why we come apart again. You also spoke about the 7.4% in the institution. So we can just and then the training that you have provided, how many are those, how many among those are women and others who are within the ages of youth. The categories are not properly structured. The principal is
thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Turner, over to you, Mr.
I'm curious, local government. You work with Salga and you mentioned Mpumalanga and others, but generally local government, what training has been given there? What kind of training? And then at the same time, what has been identified for the future that they need training in? What is the need? And where is the training need for local government? I'd like to know that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable
thank you so much, Chair. And thank you very much, Minister and Mrs. Fatima. Mine, Chair, it's more on the employees that have been signed, which I think I acknowledge them. And to me, we've been singing this song of we must have the MOU between departments. because if you don't have these animals, they are actually the result of the death. They are a result of you cannot connect because there is nothing that is binding between the two of you. Much as there are still two animals that are there, I'm just hoping that we see, as the time goes by, we see more of these animals. So that at the end of the day, there is a binding document that you said I must do this exhibition, and I have done it, and I need to be paid within this time, and you did not appear at the same time. That is then empowers you. However, though, when it comes to the FSP, FSP is a regulator. It's more of a specialized kind of officer, which I'm very much interested to if you come for the fourth or whatever.
Second quarter.
Yes. If you come for your second quarter, who would love to actually know from that MOU? What is the regulator asking you to do? Because it's a very critical sector, and they are regulators of our financial environment. So I think it would be good for the committee to understand that financial environment, as far as the human capital is concerned, is well covered. So we would appreciate that. Having said that, Honorable Minister, through you, Chairperson, I think what the minister and her division needs to do is to make sure that the scarce resources, I know that they cannot be changed by the NSD, but the NSD can make affiliations with universities. So which means we go beyond the MOU. We could go beyond and make affiliations. We are sitting with the serious problem of methodology. We are sitting with a serious problem of the measuring personnel. We are sitting with a serious problem of modeling personnel in statistics. Those that are there, we can retain them because we pay them less money. It is therefore become very critical in our chapter that in the second quarter, if the minister and the principal can just come with a plan as to how far have they gone with trying to create the affiliations with the universities, because our universities in South Africa, they don't do this. They still, within their faculties, they don't have that. I don't see why. So which means we need, if it means we need to go out, but we need to make sure that we address the issue of the special resources of the human capital.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Costa, could you please move?
Thank you, Chair President, and thank you. Madam Minister and the principal of the presentation, I'm having two issues to be clarified. Firstly, it's with regard to the revenue target not being achieved. I wanted to know what can be the challenges and the impact therefore still looking at the youth percentage not being achieved. And the last one, I wanted to know what impact is there regarding the 7.5% vacancy rate to also be clarified as to whether there are plans in place to ensure that that issue is being remedied. Thank you.
Okay, I'm so sorry. Thank you very much. You know, I'm sure Prof is wondering why mom is not putting because the mom is washing out of money.
But do you have money?
I love it, but I don't have it. It's about the funding money.
Who cares?
It's about the funding. It's about the funding money. from the previous parliament, we've been talking about this funding model, which is a problem, Chairperson. And the Treasury is not doing anything about it. The funding problem is a problem. The reason being that, especially in the local government, the corporate side, the mayor, the councillors, the everything, all those things, we said they need to sit together with the Treasury. And I've seen through their notes that they have tried that, and they're saying, irrespective of those engagements, nothing is happening. That's what they're saying. So which means we need to intervene as the committee now. Because we find one of our sector which are doing on the side, not because I was just looking at almost the last page, the trading account. If you look at the trading account, you could see that the department was able to deliver about 133 million on its own. And the transfer, because of the way the funding model is being designed, was only 54 million, which that does not even cover the personnel, the problem number one, which is administration. Can you see the discrepancy when it comes to the revenue? So I think as members somehow of the committee, we need to look at this, because this honorable member can tell you, it has been there from 2010. It has been there, and this is 2017, it is still there.
Thank you.
important what they address to, because it does have an impact from where I'm sitting. But also, I thought Honourable Member was going to ask this question in respect of your human resource profile. The people living with disabilities, and I think is there any deliberate intention, because you still have contracted that you are not to, for also recruiting people with disabilities. The other question that I would like to ask, in terms of remodeling of the school, in terms of your financial modeling and re-engineering the school, in terms of refocusing the school, you will record the presentation that you are I can't remember the issue of digital revolution as it were, because you were spoken about UNESA also doing the long distance. I'm sure there are many people to do that, but with us in the school, are we planning to do that, or I would suggest that we should look at that so that we can assist our public servants also to be more digital wise, so to speak. That would be my question. I would suggest that you respond to those questions, but also probably within a week's time, if we can also receive those responses in writing as well, so that we can use them as colleagues moving forward, interacting with the school as well. Another question for the minister and the professor.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is actually a follow-up. them to have a memorandum that must go to cabinet
to the number of this legislative restriction that they give when it comes to 1% of their budget they need to dedicate towards the MLT. Also, the issue on the issue of funding, as Honorable Dirazanen said, it has been there time and again, the issue of funding. But I think it's a matter that we are also doing oversight when we need an update from them, because they themselves, together with National Treasury and the department, because the department, tomorrow we're going to be called by the department, but I can come to them with that issue of funding the energy activity. And one matter that we have taken into the team, which I knew we will write regular updates on the progress. But that's why the principal was also recommending to say it's the matter that has been the time the current DG, the new DG of Treasury, was still the DG, reviewed the matter that they discussed and agreed at length. Now that is the DG, which is with that matter. And it's the matter that tomorrow when I go to the new corporate, I will have to remind the DG of Treasury. The MLT becomes the local leader. Because if you reach the objectives of the MLT, we have set goals in terms of the MTF period to say, if we are serious about capacitating public servants and teams across the sphere, local government, provincial government, and also last time I remember Professor when we were appearing in this committee, he also said he put a proposal for Parliament on how do we go about doing the training, but nevertheless, the rest of the issues, that's the matter that we are still doing, and we have then called the department to continuously engage us on us, then I went over to the professor to see if those taking charge of the rest.
Thank you, Minister and Honourable Member. I am accompanied by my Chief Financial Officer. I think then we can begin to get into that discussion. In place to teach public servants how to teach. Okay? to enhance the quality of data across departments, including within the MSG. And that's also a program that we talked about now. I'm not sure if Team Dila will try and field the one on the wage bill, but obviously in terms of the NSG, we're very, very timed in terms of the wage bill. So I'm not sure if we would have a great impact in terms of our specific issues that you raised. Let me say that in local government, where we're getting the requests are around areas of financial management and leadership. So Salva has tried to develop a career path, obviously on the official side, but also on the counselor side. And we're hoping to work with them on the leadership for the counselors as well. But that's where a lot of the demand comes in with local government. And just maybe to highlight that with the FSB, they found out about our ethics online program. That's where they so obviously they're focusing in terms of their role as a regulator to make sure that from entrance level to the highest level, ethical dilemmas, etc. So it's just that program that we are working with on the FSB. And the MOU was because they approach us, now they want us to customize, as it's called, because they wanted a face-to-face session. If we do all that preparation and then there's no deal, it is a problem for us. So that's why, it's an example of why the MOU is important as an indicator. And just to indicate that we have many partnerships with universities over and above the UNITA one that's been mentioned, particularly in the leadership development programs. and the course that the minister has determined for entrance requirements to the senior management service, we're working with a number of universities on building that course as well. So certainly the importance of working with I would just like to answer Honourable Ntombela's issue as well. You see, part of the constraint with the BB2E has been because of the cost recovery model. We can't expect unemployed graduates to pay us, you know, if we can attain them. So there's been different ways we've implemented it. We've gone into townships, we've got huge numbers of people, numbers of people, and we've taught them, we've facilitated it, we've funded it. But we are sort of tending a lot to work with departments on the training of interns, using this as well to strengthen interns. Because it's a short learning program, but it does give a very good understanding of the public service, the constitutional requirements, how the public service works, how it's structured, how it's organized, the kind of working opportunities in the public service, etc. And I think that's where it may be easier to do the tracking, but certainly we can look at that and see the extent to which we are able to adequately track that. We are also focusing on a reorientation program, and we're hoping that that's one of the things the minister will determine as compulsory, so that people haven't forgotten the induction and the responsibilities of public service, their roles, etc. And so the reorientation program is another one that on the e-learning side, we've got a very, very strong capacity in my view. It's not a lot of people, but three people. We've developed 22 programs. We're obviously going to have to rely on the networks, and that is possibly. be a matter of concern, but the ability to use e-learning to upscale it, to get a much wider reach, personally, we need to be very much aware of that. And hence the innovative thinking, like saying, okay, senior managers don't understand the PFMA properly and the responsibilities they have, which are formal delegations. Let's work with Treasury and come up with a program that people can minimum admin around it. But again, you know, the issue of how much we would recover the revenue generation side becomes possibly an issue. Perhaps I would just like to refer to the issue of exceeding the target, because this is something that has fascinated me now that I've been in this position. And see, we exceed a target and the Auditor General has questions, why did you? Precisely the way raised here. So there's nothing wrong with the question. The question is something we have to engage the Auditor General on. But I think, you know, at the same time, we do also need to strive to excellence. And like has been said in the meeting, it's not just about the numbers, but the numbers are important. We certainly need to make sure that we have as many public servants as possible going through training on a regular systematic basis. And the e-learning is a pretty good vehicle there. But anyway, the CFO may want to say more about the compliance side of what happens when you exceed the target. Then you also, you're wrong when you exceed the target, you're wrong when you miss the target. It's something hopefully that we talk about more as we go forward. Some of them were able to pay some.
anticipated all of this, but we're still, because we are in the situation where we need to get paid for what we've performed, we are not able to write off. So we are engaging treasury to come in to help those departments find resources to be able to pay us. And that's why we have engaged with treasury to help us with that one. And we're hoping that going forward,
issue of the vacancy rate, maybe it will be best if I can read through some things. The LSG was launched in October 2015. Before it launched, because we were going through a transition and there was a moratorium period during that period, which was 2013-14, and the LSG was introduced in 2015 to 15.4%. After the launch of the LSG, the ministerial and brought down the vacancy rate to 10.5% in 15-16, and further to 7.4% in 16-17. I also want to bring to your attention the fact that there is a very small we have a total of 7 vacant posts. So when one person leaves, the vacancy rate shoots a bit up and it looks like it's too many people. As things stand, our vacancy rate is at 8.4%, but we're checking this on a monthly basis, and we for all the vacancies that we are able to see, we do that. We also track the turnover rate versus the replacement rate, and the turnover rate has been lower than the replacement rate, which means we, as we lose people, we are able to recruit more. Not just the number of those we have lost, but the number of additional posts that we have been vacant already. But also what sometimes affects the filling of vacancies, the rate at which we are able to fill vacancies, is whether or not we can immediately fill a vacancy. Sometimes people stay long in our posts because of our strategy. And when we are supposed to fill them, we find that we have to revise their job profile so that when we fill them, we fill them with posts that are relevant for our strategy at that point in time. So, but we do have a plan to reduce the vacancy rate further and keep it below the norm in government, which is 10%, and keep it below that norm. On the issue of the training of the low figure for the fourth quarter for the training of staff, which is the staff in the NSG, we have always set ourselves a very high target because we are a training position. A high target of 80% of our staff should go through training. And we count them, we count them once. So in other words, 80% of the employees should go to training at least once. So you find that some would have gone for more than once, but we only count them once. Even if they've gone for three different types of training interventions, we only count them once. And we have, the figure that you've seen that only represents what happened in the fourth quarter. Obviously, the fourth quarter of this year is very short. And they come back and give more towards the end of the year, and then we start working on plans to get into the next financial year. So during that period, it's very difficult. You see the trend was also with the training numbers.
percent of our employees, which we very isolated. Not many customers are able to come close to the train services.
I'm tempted to say that the number of the MSG is but it is about the you can't use the opportunity when you're doing the next door in-store services. I'm worried about time that we have spent 2 hours, which is good. That do we want all our public servants to be empowered and to be trained. I think the person reported that they've got and can't write for the report. That was one of the issues when it comes to the issue of the vaccines that the ADS raised. I think it's a matter now.
Thank you so much. As members of the interior
committee,
I want to know how we can
help Project, including the Free State and Limpopo
special projects. In addition to those, an active case management review process to minimize litigation has also been put in place in Betakoa Hospital Innovation Hub. A theater use optimization solution was also identified for piloting at Tembisa Hospital. The CPSI has also identified the following two additional projects for replication, the home affairs frontline service delivery supporting tools, and the automated pharmacy for Prince Hani Baragwanath Hospital. Finally, the one that I want to raise is that the CPSI has launched the 2017 Innovation Program in Japan on the 6th of April. Although the entity's operation is on a very tight budget, there are indications that they are doing more with less in making sure that they perform what is expected of them with their condition change and one of the things they have allowed me to hand over to the executive director to take me through the presentation.
think it's in the map.
Oh, we get to the Tabarindo at some point. And just to say, the minister spoke about the Inland Lane project, and it's actually a hospital in Soweto. But the Chikani Baragwana Hospital had a backlog of 4,000 operations, cataract operations. And what we did is we then had worked with them to establish a facility at another hospital, which is in Deep Soweto, the Inland Lane Hospital. And we're happy to say, as the minister said, the facility is now operational. And for the first 3 months, they were able to operate, an average of 75 people per month. So it's already eating away, the backlog that exists. And the innovation hub that we have established, that the minister referred to, the hospital, is really true. Internalize the whole practice and culture of innovation to change the mindset, but importantly to capacitate the institutions that they internalize innovation, that they don't become overly and permanently reliant and dependent on CPSI to assist them. We leave them with a culture so that they do it themselves. And I'm happy to say that it's going to be written up into a model, and there will be a toolkit which again the minister will have to hand over to the Minister of Health, so that it is then distributed to all the hospitals, so that even without us, they continue to help themselves to remain innovative. In the same way that we see with Home Affairs, where when you receive SMSs from Home Affairs after you've applied for the document and you get responses, it's a solution that the CPSI led and the development of, in collaboration with CETA and obviously and so on. But then once the minister hand is over, it's up to the institutions to make sure that it stays. And we're happy to say that Home Affairs has done that, although we continue to work with them on different other solutions. And so you will find that within the Better Global Hospital Innovation Hub, there's a number of solutions, and the one that we're working on right now is the one which focuses on the issue of litigation, because the health, you will agree that the health department is sort of, or sector is consumed with litigation, and the hospitals are losing thousands of millions to individuals who are claiming against. So there's an element within this model that addresses issues of litigation to make sure that they are avoided. And as I said, this will be within the model, and it will be handed over to. And last week, or 2 weeks ago, I'm not going to attend the presentation because the minister really did a fantastic job of going through, but I'm just raising the highlights. But the minister hosted 2 weeks ago a conference, and we had close to 400 officials from the country, the three tiers of government, and so on. And it was attended very well. There was an MEC from Mpumalanga, the deputy minister, and various other very high profile, in fact, all levels. And it was a very good one, which focused on the fourth industrial revolution, which is the technological revolution that's taking over, and everybody's paying attention to that. And we were able to talk through a number of issues that the public sector needs to be aware of, and even touched on the kinds of competences that are being ushered in by the fourth industrial revolution that we need to take cognizance of. And I'm happy to say that we are in collaboration with the UNDP to make sure that some of these competences are really being addressed. I mean, it's things that one may never have heard of: robotics, design thinking, the environment we live in, and various other competences. But it was a very positive conference. Was a very good platform and quite a successful one, if I may say so. Minister, with your permission, I would like to let the...
Honorable Chair,
with your permission, I would like to go and go to my
Level of coordination that is essential, and that we are hoping that they will achieve.
And then on the Mpumalanga Department of Agriculture Farm Mapping Project, it's a project that we found in the Western Cape through our program, which is a very good project. We are now implementing it in Mpumalanga, where it, amongst other things, it involves assisting young up-and-coming farmers who want to professionalize farming. They largely farmers' children, but not to make them walk in the same, follow their own parents, but to professionalize this whole sector. And this project allows them to be able to identify available land and even to be able to assess the land in terms of appropriateness and you know, the right food kind of farming that should be happening on this piece of land. And then they are able to mix with going to academic institutions so that they become professional farmers higher than their own parents. And then the drug optimization project is the one that we always talk about. It's a good project that we found in a hospital in KZN that we are taking across the country, because we know there is intravascular is a blood crisis, and it addresses that crisis. And if I tell you that Barakwana Hospital spends 10 million rand a month on blood and blood products, you will understand why we're taking it so seriously. It's been we've replicated it in a number of hospitals to make sure that it works across, especially in Gauteng, and they are already saving lots of money and lots of blood and blood products. We are now taking this one to the state, obviously, and to New York, because that's where there's pressure. We found that a few hospitals have a challenge around
Honorable Padre Bat, she
Innovation, great encouragement to whoever out there, and then those products with that innovation is not being looked after. It is quite a concern, Chief, because you know we have so many institutions and days and whatever named after icons in this country, and then it's neglected and you actually see a change of the product at the end. Because it's not even been looked after. Simple things. What about this great innovation? They not being looked after. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Kosovo.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just interested, Chairperson, by the initiative of the Begging London assisting Kusan Bazin. But the presenter indicated that Begin Lang is able to operate about 75 patients a month, but for comparative speaking, that so that I'll be able to understand as to whether the relief is such important, to what extent is such a relief, if maybe you can tell us on percentage basis, is it that important, or alternatively, you did not say what was the overload in Baragwana, what was the number, then if we will be able to know such overload, better be the number from the assisting hospital, which is the Begin Lange, then I'll be able to understand the and that's to check whether you are able to expand to more provinces, more especially rural provinces, because if you look at this overload in Paraguay, most of the patients are coming from those rural provinces where the hospitals cannot be assisted in their most regarded province. Thank you very much.
as the teacher was presenting, I was beginning to ask myself whether CPSI, does CPSI know the number of provinces constituting South Africa? I haven't heard of Philonomy Hospital in Bloemfontein. I haven't heard of other hospitals in North West. And the Bopper. And with our overtime visits, we visited quite a number of hospitals. There are good practices in front of the hospitals, but there are problems as well. It is for that reason that the Department of Innovation should be there as well. There are problems that can be looked at and the situation improved. Hence, I was asking whether does the department know how many provinces, constitute this country? Secondly, the other question that I have is what kind of innovative solutions in the form of interventions were deployed in the hospitals to enhance efficiency of frontline services delivered? For example, the dispensing of medicine in hospitals. And the next one is, what happened to CPSI pilot projects after innovative solutions have been discovered? Do they hand them over to the relevant departments to take ownership? And what is always the response or the political buy-in in such cases? Thank you, Chairperson, for your protection.
Thank you, Chairperson. The DG mentioned that this type of innovation also has a problem of getting the I'm just wondering. Sometimes it's because departments do not have the sustainability of so much projects and assess in terms of making sure that these kinds of innovations remain safe and they do not take them away. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chairperson. Chairperson, I'd like to follow on the queue. Thank you.
In more in the cabinet level. And together with all of us, we're talking about the electronic system that are not being coordinated. What are they going to do about it? Because the level is very critical. I know the queue of queuing for the tablet. You know, sitting in the So I really say, Chairperson, well done for that. Our people, they think they're having different diseases. Some of them are diabetes, which you cannot stay without proper levels of glucose within your system. And you may collapse and even get complicated. So for that reason, it was a very good initiative. But I would like to add here, now I want to direct this one directly to the Minister of Health. We said, do us the thing. Do the research. Do us research because we have realized that the wage bill is sitting where it is. There should be something happening. Either than the number of personnel that are there, but we're not too sure whether the people are delivering. We're not too sure about whether are they there when they're supposed to be there. Can you try and do something about the digital activity? Whatever you call it. So that I remember I said this recent summer, I said, taking for an example, if the premier is hearing on the news that there is a report about a school somewhere in Anduli, Eastern Cape, where there are no teachers, the NEC for Education is able to sit in her, in his or her office, punter the sitting. Look at the attendance register because there is interconnectedness of the system. Remember I've been saying this. Now, we are saying, Honorable Minister, that you want to be successful. And you might not have the money, but you need to negotiate with you. Especially if you have the education. That is in education. The money we pay at value. Absenteeism will be controlled and you'll be able to know what is going on. Now, so on that note, well done. Now, I want to come to the money. You know, I am at the age where I my eyes and my mind focuses more on the sequence. So because of that, you excuse me, Minister, that your CFO, the way she has written her statement, appropriation statement of financial statement, is confusing. Look at the whatever page, but I'm on the page.
17. Now, I am saying, I don't know whether because of my age or the way I was taught, financial step, for my mind to flow on the financial management, I need to follow it with the time. So I have to look at the 2016, 2017, and get that into my mind and move to 2017, 2018, not vice versa. But that's a mistake on that, it is that you have.
No, I'm sure other questions will be before the two of you both are also in terms of training and the relationship that the center has with the LSG as well. But from my side, just one question.
So they are more like that, like the ICT companies, because now we are in the digital age. Mm-hmm. And then I want not to look at that as work in progress, that will be able to report to you as we report to you on the board and present the final report based on our discussion that we have in our work in progress. Otherwise, the issue of sustainability, Honorable Magoso, you are spot on that one. Because that's what part of the handover is. You had this saying, I'm going to. Your minister will, the minister will. We are working on the mechanism because Honorable Sandra, we have also recognized that it is very hard handing over to safety and security. We need to be assured, that assurance is part of the handover report and the commitment by that particular department to make sure that they are going to make this product sustainable. That's one of the conditions. That's why our leadership has been pushing me to say, go and hand over, but I said, let's put mechanisms so that there must be some memorandum of understanding and agreement. To say, moving forward as you take over, this is our expectation for you to make sure that you maintain the sustainability.
Thank you very much, Minister. And in addition, thank you, Chair. In addition, on the issue of sustainability, let me say that sustainability is a criteria that we hope we will consider in the
nothing. After the push, we
when it gets rolled out throughout the country and it will be a one off aid transfer. That was the assurance of this. It would be a one off 800 rand and one trust that if you bring the keep the private sector closed, they will even be willing to pay for that. It's been rolled out in Northwest. It's been rolled out in Soweto as well, in North East Coast, and some other areas where they are. So, during the pilot, yes, I said, in fact, the connectivity is not only with that. It's also with the team in the Miami. It's also with the community. The business against crime, and then the community policing forum, and so that when something happens, in fact, the first saving that happened was around the fire. There was a fire that started in this road as we were still doing the initial pilot, and that they were saved from the fire because of this thing. Because when you press the alarm, it rings in like four different people, it alerts everybody. It alerts the neighbors. We were told of specific incidents where people were saved from rape, women were saved from rape, because as they pressed this thing, it alerted the neighbors. By the time the police got there, which was in less than 10 minutes, the neighbors had intervened. So it really is a but it will be at no or minimum cost to people. At Begin Langeni, as I said, honorable member, the reason we undertook that project was because of the 4,000 backlog that was at Chris Hannibal, but they were not coping. They had 4,000 people, just a backlog. And so once it started, that was the very first month that the facility was put in. They managed to do certified, pulling them away from Chris Hannibal, and others. The first month was 75, second month, 78, third month, 74. That's why I said ever average of 75. That was May, June, July. I trust that August, which we have not received any data, July and August and now September, I trust that it's picking up and we can report on that in the next meeting. Yes, the provinces is that the pharmacy, yes, that's the truth. That's why we In fact, I think UNDP almost committed yesterday. We did sponsor the meeting that they will start. We're looking at like 50 million. Where it is a machine where people don't have to go and see what. They simply go press and they can talk to a pharmacist right there at the machine. It's in a few malls already. So we are taking that to the rural area. And if you remember, said we're also trying to address the issue of food. And the issue of referrals, you mentioned Chris Hannibal Nakwana Hospital. We have a project that we're working on right now, which is on a referral system between hospitals and between clinics, because some hospitals just get overly inundated with people who just choose which hospital they want to go to, and the referrals, they are not coping. So we are working on a referral system, and which we will hopefully the issue of litigation, yes. It will be interesting to see what else can be done, because the one problem that was identified in hospital is that the staff are never ready with information. They can't even respond. When they are taking reports, they can't even present report on what happened on the day. Was it your problem, your fault, or was it not your fault? Did you follow protocol? Did you follow procedures, or didn't you? And now the one thing that is being done is they are being held to keep track and to keep record on whatever engagement they have with patients. But hopefully there will be more in the digitalization. When the child is not
we need to just take it more to school. But they intend to take the thing that they have already that we are trying to only protect. Obviously, we have the challenges around, you know, connectivity and such issues, which we are hoping SETA and the Department of Telecommunications are addressing as we speak. I don't know if my colleague leader, if you wanted to respond to one or two, just 2 seconds. Thank you. We are
voice is bad, and I'm not too sure whether it's something to support the minister or what. If you can do whatever quietly so that you can save time. Over to you, Minister, while listening now. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable members, is the fourth quarter performance report of the department for the 2016-17 financial year that I'm presenting now. The highlights, out of the 45 targets that the GSA set for itself, They achieved 41, and this constitutes 91%. And then in terms of the budget expenditure, DPSA has by the fourth quarter spent 430 million of its allocated annual budget of 137 million, which also constitutes 96.3% of the expenditure. Some of the highlights of the work that has been done over the fourth quarter with the inclusion was the drafting of a research report and the appropriate institutional model for coordination of social centers, the finalization of the public service of citizen government schools, and the refinement of the public administration for development and planning. Department in updating the required 20,000 youth international internship and artisan programs in the public sector. And then the other issue, they had to comply with the third quarter report on the management of personal resources within the public service, and also the finalization of the report on the implementation issues that satisfied honorable funders on the public service coordinating by the new council. And then the holding of a workshop with the department on the ICT security guidelines and the production of the improvement report on the turnaround time of business processes in the Department of Mineral Resources, Trade and Industry, including also the Department of Health. With your permission, Honorable Chairperson, I would like to request the Director General to lead in the presentation of the fourth quarter performance report, also including the fourth quarter performance report of this current year. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. Honorable
Chairperson,
you are most welcome. Thanks for coming. Over to you, Mr. Gucci. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, Honorable Minister, Honorable Members of the Committee, colleagues,
Good morning.
The presentation focuses on the two quarters that the Minister has indicated, the fourth quarter of the financial year, the terms of the different programs that we have. It's the same information on overall achievement of targets, just breaking it down by different branches, different programs. So honorable members will see that in terms of two of the programs, special analysis, labor relations and human resource management, those are the programs where the four targets that were not achieved. The rest of the programs this is just the breakdown in terms of the details per program. This is program one. I will not have much in program one. Many of the issues related to program one are compliance related issues, submission of quarterly reports, annual reports, all this kind of things that have to be dealt with for compliance purposes as part of corporate management. I think perhaps just to flag the one area here towards the bottom of this slide, which shows the final third class of regulations for public service and administration to approve implementation. I'm just flagging this one because this is not one of the compliance related issues. This was a key deliverable in relation to the development of. And then also development of regulations for the public administration and management act. Program two, this is the first program where we find the perfect kind of area of work that needed to be done. There's a link between what happens in this program and what happens in program one when it comes to the development of regulations. The research work that ends up informing the regulation that gets developed is done in this branch. So you will see that there is a link between this branch talking about supporting the development of the next set of regulations. So they do the research work, then that research work then informs the legal team in program one that does the development of the regulation. So just to explain that what work that they do there. And also the research report on the appropriate institutional model for social service centers. This is a matter that this committee has emphasized is important to us before, in fact, I think in May we appeared before the committee to present the findings of that research report and carrying forward. Yeah. 3 is another program where the targets that were not achieved, it's 3 out of 6 that were not achieved, in labor relations and human resource management. The key things that we presented to the the committee as part of our APP, which are also linked to the medium-term strategic framework, we continue with those issues. Monitoring the average percentage funded vacant posts as well against the targeted 10% ceiling. We produced a report on that as planned. And the key issue of ensuring that we facilitate the absorption of young people to school learnerships and apprentices and so on, internships, and supporting departments to make sure that they get young people into these programs. The minister has already reported on the forum that was held to engage with departments and provinces to facilitate this process of them indeed taking young people in the internship programs and learnerships and apprenticeships. And outside the support process that we embark on, we then generate a report annually on how many young people departments are able to bring on this program. And then, of course, the work on disciplinary cases, an MTSS, medium-term strategic framework target, that we continue to monitor and report on to cabinet as well. The minister has spoken about the monitoring of PSCP resolutions. I will not go into this. And then ongoing work around the implementation of the government's AIDS housing scheme and the report that we produce for that purpose. The target that was not achieved relates to the SMS performance management and development system. And here there were delays in the consultative processes that we have had to engage in. There are two systems that we are looking at. One is for heads of department. And the committee would recall that previously the coordination of the assessment processes for performance of heads of department was done through the public service commission. And the decision was taken that the public service commission should rather focus on its oversight work and overseeing that it's done, assessments are done as properly as possible, but the actual implementation should be left to the executive. And the decision taken by cabinet was that work that gets done to oversee the actual rollout of the system, given that in terms of the Public Service Act, the career incident of heads of department, director of general, besides the president, we should put in the president so that he becomes involved in driving this kind of process. So those are the amendments that needed to take place, and that's why we reflect here that consultations needed to take place with the presidency as well, and those consultations have been concluded, and we are looking at the next steps now of confining it and taking it through the minister to cabinet for consideration. I should just also indicate that often when we talk about refining and improving the system, the question gets raised, what is happening in the meantime? So there is a system that is there in the meantime, it's just that assessments at the moment take place between executive authorities and their head of department. But that new process that will involve a central coordination tool at the provincial level, the Office of the Premier, and at national level through the presidency, that's what the new system will provide. There are ongoing reports that get provided to cabinet on how many DGs have or have not signed the performance agreement, and so on. That monitoring continues to take place. In fact, in the recent report to cabinet, the PTMB was able to report on how many have not signed the performance agreement. And as part of MPEC, there is an ongoing assessment of who have not been assessed with the and so on. So just to clarify that's what happens in the interim as the development of the system continues. The target that was not achieved was around the graduate recruitment scheme. This is an MTF target as well. They were expected that it has been done in this area that work has been done. We were able to go back to the implementation cluster DG to present the refined framework, which now lays the foundation for us to approach the minister so that we can take forward the recommendations to the cabinet for consideration. And then the last target is that of the compliance report in line with the Public Service Act. We've written to departments so that they can provide us with the necessary information. More time was needed to collate all the responses from departments, and so we extended that period to say by the end of September 2017, we should want to finish that. Program 4, all the targets were achieved. It just speaks to the e-enablement, the proposition, it speaks to the management of technology of public service in departments, it speaks to workshops on cost management guidelines around ICT and supporting departments when it comes to ICT continuity guidelines, security guidelines, recovery guidelines, all that work was done. Service delivery, also all the targets were achieved on service delivery, and it shows here the examples, the actual targets that we had, looking at the turnaround times in the target of three departments, looking at our work on service delivery improvement plans that was done, looking at annual report compliance rate on the partnership of service delivery improvement plans that was done. We select a sample of departments every year to assist them to take the particular standards, the particular principles, and develop standards and principles. So in terms of the candidate department that work was done, and then we assist them on the standards. The last program for the fixed departments that public administration was achieved there, and it shows the things that we have in our APP guideline on clarification of administrative roles and responsibilities that was done. The workshops that we have conducted with departments on delegation principles, taking forward the implementation of the guide that we have developed on mentoring amongst SMS members, and writing a report on the lessons that have been learned, that was done as well, and strengthening the mechanisms that are being used for competency assessment of officials before appointments get made. That was done as well. And then, of course, we also have this work that we do on an ongoing basis where departments approach upon HR-related matters for advice, for assistance, and here we just reported on the number of departments, the specific departments that we were able to assist during the first quarter of the financial year. We also looked at the directive on this other designated category of employees, which we would call that in the past we had only SMS members being required to disclose their financial interests. And we said to this committee that we are now going to go forward to make sure that other categories other than SMS members will be identified and designated to disclose financial interest. So a directive was issued to identify other categories, and so the work here was to make sure that we then roll out a series of workshops to support on the disclosure, the new disclosure requirements from clarity around this and make sure that we put in place a directive that can guide departments. So there's a very detailed directive, there's a very detailed checklist also, and there's also a template approval certificate so that when an EA, you don't have to what shape of my approval is. So this is the design. directives and guidelines, I think just to say, in addition to the directives and the workshops that we conducted, we need to produce a report, a monitoring report on the implementation of the directives, to see that it is actually being implemented. Analysis report on whistleblowing to the public service, this was done as well. The financial report, I think the minister indicated the annual report that will be coming only in the committee in October. I think the final audited one, information will come as part of that report, but just an overall indication that we got unqualified. This just shows the breakdown of the budget. At the bottom, it just shows for the whole vote, including our sister entities, CTSI, NSG, and the Public Service Commission, that the total vote was 739,836,000. That was spent. Right in the middle there, there is another shaded column. Subsection that which shows up to that point that the PSA only, which is, shows the total allocation of 447,452,000 out of which 96.3% was spent. I think I should indicate that one of the one of the contributing factors here has been in terms of our compensation of employees, but also the task that public service is experiencing generally. We try to move this option into the issue of funding of people. So for example, we had an amount of about 10 million which was allocated to us for compensation to employees, but which was not carried over into the household. And the caution that we exercised there was that if you employ people, it means that when you get into the household, make sure that you spend this responsibly and not make commitments that will lead to unemployment. So it's just the cautious steps that we take when it comes to spending on compensation of employees, and some of the decisions taken was that we either use this for compensation, and when we come, it will be safer to return the money. The same information here captured according to economic classification. The transfers that go to the entity, that's where we have a huge amount of transfers and this is the money that goes to the National School of Government, PSC, and the Center for Public Service Innovation. We've included once again this slide that talks about expenditure on consultants. I just want to show that we kept the premium at 7.3% of the total goods and services budget. That's the amount that we spent on consultants. And I have also just to remind the committee that spending on consultants at the standard chart of accounts includes also the payments for the AGC. It also includes the payments to the people that we are members of our audit committee, and then also certain services that are sending services such as pizza and so on and so on. That is part of the 7.3% that we reflect in the slide on consulting. Through you, Chairperson, if I could then just touch on the highlights of the first quarter for April to June 2017. This just shows that in terms of the target for that period, we had a total of 34 targets for the first quarter of this year. 30 of them achieved, constituting 88% achievement rate. And following the same approach, this is just a breakdown showing the four targets that were not achieved. This is one under administration, another one under policy and the two under labor relations and human resource management. The rest of the programs of the 100% breaking it down into the various programs, program one administration, I think maybe if I could just then jump on to the target that we're talking about here, which was never achieved, which is on the public administration management regulations. We have developed the first draft set of regulations on public administration management in terms of the PEM Act, and we are making arrangements with the minister to make sure that we take the minister on board on the logic of the regulations and the intention that we're trying to achieve there. And once that has been completed, we'll then be able to move to the next step for us to issue the regulations for implementation. Policy and the first is also one target there that I will focus on. But I should just indicate that the branch again that you will see between program one and this program, in fact, is a common trend with other programs as well, that you have some research work happening in this program, which informs the rest of the work that happens in other programs. So that's why you will still see that there will be work related to public administration non-form standards here, which the branch is responsible for. In the meeting that we had with the portfolio committee, when we presented our APP, one of the issues raised was around structure of government. The committee said, what work is EPSA going to do to make sure that you assess the structure of government and make recommendations on improvement that can be effected? This particular deliverable here looks at that, which looks at the functional analysis to determine the specific capability of the state and remove any overlap that might exist. So that work has started. Initial research has been completed. We now have formed a steering committee department to make sure that they can advise on this work that has been done as part of us moving towards recommendations on improving on the structure of government. We have also said in our APP that we will look at, since the last time we had a white paper on the transformation of the public service many years ago, to take stock and say it is not time that we look at the gaps that might have been there. 1994, once the white paper was introduced, and come up with recommendations for improvement at the policy level. That work also has been initiated. We spoke about organizational functionality assessment, and this work will continue to be a key feature of the work of the department, because now it's included in the public service regulation. We're strengthening our instruments, we are continuing to work with departments to make sure that they can conduct the functionality assessment. What was not achieved during the first quarter was further consultations on the productivity measurement tool. As I indicated, as part of the fourth quarter report, we're taking this instrument step by step and rolling out piloting in several departments and continue to strengthen it. This time around, we said during the first quarter, we will have consultations with two sector departments. We have not concluded those consultations, but I can report where we're sitting now that we've still concluded those consultations and are running with the work on this instrument. Program three, two targets that were not achieved. I think the area that relates to the graduate recruitment team, I've already indicated to the committee, that work is continuing. We have now been to the government and administration cluster of DGs. Recommended that we take that work forward to cabinet for consideration. So that work will continue. Our ongoing monitoring implementation of the government in the same area of work as well. We have a new area that looks at and so on. here we are taking that work forward now to look at non-SMS members, so that we can advise on assessment mechanism for the recruitment and selection of officials other than SMS members. So that's that collection of experiences from different departments and facets to inform the recommendations that we make going forward. And then the target that was not achieved here, the delays in the finalization of the work we're doing on PMDS for HODs has impacted on improvements that we want to introduce on the PMDS for SMS members. Now that we have concluded consultations on the one for these, we have taken those inputs, we have built them into the one for non for SMS members as well, and we have already again into the government and administration cluster of DGs for their input on this one. So we'll be able to take that work forward on the remaining part of the of this financial year. We have also said that by the end of the first quarter, we will have obtained the mandate for the next round of negotiations. By the end of the first quarter of the year, we have not completed that work. There's preparatory work that needed to be done, but we can report to the committee that one of the key things that has happened is we've been to cabinet for cabinet to approve the appointment of a committee of ministers provided for in the Public Service Act, which committee of ministers will be in the mandate. Also report that our minister as the convener of that committee has already convened that committee. The committee has met and one of the key things that the committee has done was to finalize and approve the negotiation implementation protocol, which will guide the negotiation process that will be starting during the next month or two for the next round of negotiations. Program 4. There were four targets that were all achieved, and I think the summary is contained there in the slide. And then if I could just look at program 5, the last but one program, 5 targets, they were also all achieved. And program 6, which is the last program governance, 6 targets, they were all achieved. And this will then reflect the next set of slides on the financial expenditure for the first quarter of this financial year. And 897 million, which is the allocation for the total vote for the whole for all the entities in the vote. Again, the total for the Department of Public Service and Administration is 456 million. By the end of the first quarter, the total spending for the vote was at 21.44% for the PSA, which had at 81.71%. In terms of economic classification, showing that 22.52% went to compensation of employees, 11.41% to food and services, 24.57% to transport and transportation business, 36% to payment of capital. Once again, included the slide on the ground, that just shows again the figure below 10%. Then I think one of the issues that Honorable Chair, if I could just raise, that we also monitored this month and throughout the last quarter of the last financial year, throughout this quarter, we've always managed to pay our suppliers within 2 days. So it's something that we every month, and even the previous quarter of the 2016 we have consistently been able to stay within the required period of payment. That's the performance for the two quarters, which I think that the committee has.
Thank you, Chair. Just a quick one to start with. On the SMS PMDS process that is being refined to be taken to Cabinet, what timelines are we looking at here? How soon, when is it going to go to Cabinet and be approved so that it can be? The issue referred to about the targets not met, especially with regard to labor relations, and you made DG a remark that there's some people from various departments come to you for advice in terms of labor relations methods. My concern, and this would be linked to the issue of disciplinary cases that we talked about previously, is this. If the department cannot meet the regulation, is that because we don't have competent people to be doing the job? And if so, how can they help other people in other departments when they have problems? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable. So, Honorable Benmore, over to you then.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. My question is related to the final report on the provision of reasonable accommodation and assistive devices by national and provincial departments. I'm curious, who did that report? And if that report can come to the committee as well? And my second question, please be patient with me, the consultants in the fourth quarter, it says 11,585 million went to consultants, with the total budget, I'm using that amount, that's 11,567 million. Okay, so I'm wondering, why is there a big difference between the fourth quarter report and the first quarter report? The consultants were only paid 1,238 million.
You are saving, or we're still looking at certain limits that we have allocated for consultants and so on. I think it's a lot of money. In any way, it's a lot of money, and we have to take note that surely if we have a National School of Governance, we have DGs, Deputy DGs, hopefully they've been trained, that there are many issues. What are we using consultants specifically for? Surely with things that you have legal people in your department, it's legal matters, training matters we supposed to be catered for. What are these consultants actually doing? I've got a question on that. And Chairperson, can we please be informed who serves on the committee just elected, of which the minister is a convener for the wage bill negotiation? I didn't like the comment that you say they will meet in the next month or two. The wage bill cannot be in the next month or two. I think it's got to get urgent in the meeting. And obviously, are we still considering the undertaking to find that 25 billion rand saving as undertook during a budget vote speech last year? I would also like to note, Chairperson, who is the people responsible in the minister's office to reply to written questions. Because I want to raise a concern that the easy escape clause means this department doesn't deal with it, get it from the relevant department. Obviously, the minister is not in charge of every single department. But public service deals with certain matters in all departments. And if we can get those answers a bit quicker, I don't think one would ask questions, for example, on the DG's performance assessment, which I believe is about 3 years now done, and that in fact I didn't receive performance bonuses then for that period that it wasn't done. How did we advance on it? And I'm not saying every DG should get it. You only get it when you deserve it, obviously. So where are we standing with that? When last did we actually did do DG assessment, and when last did the DG actually, in accordance on merit, got paid their performance bonuses? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Thank you, Honourable Member. That will bring us to Honourable Makausi.
Thank you, Chair. The DG mentioned, in fact, there were some two slides that spoke about our comments that spoke about the people that there's a great concern relating to this kind of food service, which is actually aimed at bettering service to the minority in the large areas where we find ourselves very far from access. When we do our oversight, we do recognize that some are eradicated, some are not even used. And there's a lot of technical resources for people. And we don't see much from the side of the company in terms of bettering this kind of standards. You know, one aspect the department is not monitoring the type of services provided or the centers themselves. Because, you know, the structures themselves do not present a type of culture that this is a center provides things like this. The battlefield principle, it seems as if it's something that is waiting. Our communities are not well aware of the principle, and the department do not actually make any educated information what their lives are, what is expected of the department. And it seems as if it's just there in terms of community service, but we don't see it. When you visit a center, as an ordinary member of the community,
with the directives which
prevents public servants from doing business for the state. And then, Minister, this is a question to you. There was a media statement put out earlier this year, and it refers to a plan by the department to restructure the civil service. And since then, there has been nothing. I tried asking a question about it a couple of days after the report appeared in the media, and I was stopped from that person who had to answer was stopped from answering it. So I would like to know from you whether there is, in fact, a plan to restructure the civil service. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Thank you for the department that is there today. I've got a few questions about containing the expenditure patterns. Financial expenditure patterns. The first one is about the 15.something million, which was rolled over from the 15. Because if I look at the first quarter, the expenditure patterns, I don't find it normally. So if you can just help me with that. And I would look at the BG just to quickly look at the same order, but to quickly look at the expenditure patterns for the first quarter. I'm just cautioning the head chairperson. Much as I know that the people they always ask it says, I don't know why, but they always all the time they are having a problem with the first quarter to financially manage their fiscal appropriately. It's their problem all the time. And then when you go to the other quarter, then you find that they're trying to settle. So it's the same thing. They need to try and improve. But I want to reflect on the fact that also that the state will try and explain to us that if you look at your actuals, on the 20th of June 2017, and you look at the research and analysis, my question is that seemingly that competence in your department is actually not doing much of the work. I'm saying this because I'm looking at your allocation of the competence itself and even the utilization of the system after you've done all your priorities. And even in the fourth quarter, it is one of the competencies that was not achieved. So for me, it says, Minister, that this competency in your department, there is a problem. There is a serious problem. And it worries because you're going to sit in the darkness and not know what is happening. But this is this department that is supposed to communicate now and again with the staff and say, oh, shift the money and not shifting the cash, but make some collaboration with certain aid so that you make sure that this is properly utilized. Because we do need the development and the research analysis. Coming to the other competence of PFO is the government chief information officer. You keep on allocating so much millions to this competence. Let's look at the actual way you're sitting right now. Even if I estimate it, even if I estimate it in my head, then still you're going to look only in the with the priorities.
The other one, Chairperson, I want to go to expenditure, touching on consultants. You see, Chairperson, I know that in finance we have different styles of combining our assets, liabilities, expenditures, and income. DG, you probably need to do this because of the way you see it. I don't understand why, and I'm sitting with you for the second time, not because I'm meeting you with the posters, and I don't see the reason why. Also, there are the chapter 9 institutions. Because it is an issue, the chapter 9 institutions, you just have to write it there, what the president has said. This is according to So we just have to say that all these fees, then you put them on, and those fees are very expensive. Because if you keep on doing this, it's like the department is continuing using the consultant. This is a perception that you're talking about. Which is not true. Because most of these things, I don't know how many consultants you have, but I know that they chunk off the money. Because I come from the auditor, I know that it came to us. You have to pay the audit fee of giving you an unqualified opinion. So stop acting here or to stop putting business advisor services. He must just say it is audit fees, put it down. Legal costs, put it down as they are. So that we understand as to why did you decide to outsource a service when personnel are there to do the job? Why did you do that? Because if you do that, you are actually assisting that the unemployment rate in this country must not go down. Whereas we are saying the unemployment must go down. You must train people, you must give people the job, the people must go. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member, for my question. Probably the latter part in terms of the consultancy fees, that it will help in other issues that in terms of relating to expenditure or budget allocation in terms of the program. That if we can get, I just want to make an example of this one. I know that there is this notion that members would have individuals because we approve the plans or the business plans of the department, the actual business plan. But the business plan in terms of the quarter specification doesn't give you that in terms of the performance. The one that I have here from SSA, I think some of the numbers, but we do. There's a thicker one that says that fourth quarter report with a specific that gives you, they give us electronically and also hard copies, which will encourage encourage us to give us hard copies. But also the first quarter also, which has got details, because it will allow members then to know the line expenditure patterns as it were, so that there's no ambiguity and suspicion in terms of whether are we hiding money under contracting to do other things. And also it will assist us also to ensure that when there are budget transfers, road transfers as you may call them, we are aware that, so that also the reasons thereof. Instead of asking questions, because the departments, honorable minister, they do have that information over here. Mm-hmm. But for us, because we keep on asking questions that are more or less similar, which is every time we engage in this question, but this is a new method. But we can do that. Just take us in consideration, we do need this question. So, especially when there are certain electronic grants, we do need this. That's one. Two, there are other. Now I'm basically in chapter 1 in terms of moving forward, because chapter 4 is the very bad one. Mm. So it's like water under the bridge. We would love to continue to carry over as an ongoing concern areas of your people living in the disability community. Some of our parameters are coming to your delegation. but there are also the issue of consideration of financial interest by the, and also the performance that we have been placing as a committee. And so those are the standard things that we must be put on speed on them so that we don't repeat them. Like the question also of the assessment of the teachers that we've been raising. So that you just sponsor that information because you know that those are the priority interest areas for the portfolio committee. Notwithstanding that Public Service Commission also deals with those issues and also DPME in a lighter way. But DPME and Public Service Commission, they deal with it after events. So you as the principal, so to speak, of administration, you should be also focusing on that. Also the issue of your ICT. You remember, DG, we spoke about the passers. So I'm raising these issues because they shouldn't be event-orientated where then there's another acting chair or a chair then everybody thinks that we're forgotten. Some of us, we are seemingly permanent members until 2019, so we will raise these issues. But we cannot raise them continuously. We must get assurance that there's somebody that is taking those issues seriously at a certain level, whether it's cabinet or IOC or DG forum. So that would be my appeal, which I hope moving forward will be given that information. Because even the issue of the disciplinary turnaround time of that special committee that has been created at DPSA, if you would have given us that, because one would be interested in picking up on the questions that is presented by one of the turnaround, what are the challenges? What are we intending to do with that if there are any blockages? Because it does impact also on vacant posts. Or double pay for one post twice, because the other one is on the profit suspension and the other one is acting. So it does have an implication, and also business continue to offer various departments, not only keeping a. The other one, which Honorable Subhadana raised when we're dealing with the. I think it's the Center for Innovation, but I also added that it also does have something to do with the energy. Our public service do what they're supposed to do at a certain time, because that's an issue of management as well. You can come to work, Honorable Dubazan, but then do nothing. And end up for a whole month getting paid for doing nothing, because there is no clear monitoring of the key indicators, what's supposed to happen to be doing, and those ones who are supposed to be, actually those ones in the making management at lower level, which makes the department also tier. That is an area that we must pay attention to, because the issues that were raising, even in our previous meeting when we discussed the issue of, was it the third quarter, yes, or the third quarter preparing for the budget also. We raised the issue, probably there's a need that we must also review the government structure and also the job descriptions and all that, so that we don't have to end up having paper pusher. In the absence of that, it will have, because the issue of written report response turnaround also, we talk to that, which is there's no oil machine in terms of the business process to monitor that it happens at a given time. If we do have standards that we have set for ourselves as public administration service department, they also being respected too. Because there is a necessity to our protocol that needs to be respected. But your IT system, if it's good and all, it will pick up and blame the game to tell you that you haven't responded to that. Because your policy says that and your standard policy says you should have responded to that. So DG, we must move with time and we must make sure that you are in the fifth quarter of the administration. So I'm raising, there are lots of things that I'm raising, but I'm saying looking forward, those are the things that I must take down in the report to us. And over to you, Minister, and the city.
Thank you. There's a question about the government assessment of the rest of the president. I'm going to go to the next with regard to the new committee for cabinet security. We are interested in the political committee, but we need to monitor the I'm still waiting to get that feedback from the department. One thing that I will follow up, on that issue. That's the only time the process is going to be rather than to comply. And upon our decision, that one weakness that was also identified that we are good at issuing directives to the department, but the mechanism of following up and for now, I've since requested the status report from the department that information that is showing in certain rules of thumb. That's the issue that is pending with the thumb of order when it comes and the position with you in the details away, which one, because as I'm speaking now, there are also issues that have not yet come to comment on the current information. So this is some of the issues that we are raising. But in terms of what some chairperson will report to cabinet, these are issues that you are able to highlight. DG, so and so, you know, comply. That's the thing we can see. Executive authority. Our role now is in Section 3.1. We are responsible to make sure that they comply with the department to follow up on those ones. So that's the issue, also coupled the issue with what Honorable Elwood is in the PMDMS thing. I've got the submission, what are we doing on the subject to quality check, so that we don't just process it to find out the outstanding issues that collecting since then. It delays the whole process as has been raised. Other issues that.
Even the system is not finalized.
No, cabinet still has to approve it that way. The cabinet still has to approve. But within the cycle in terms of the outcome that it has to be approved within this quarter. That one method that we are making sure that it can be approved by cabinet. They will issue that way still pending also because you need to also use your status report on the status to use it as a baseline to say how far are we in terms of a compliance. Honorable, that we are very right because like we are responsible for the entire to oversee the public service, especially when it comes to labor relations matters. It can't be us as a department who are found to be compliant because basically that's what it's supposed to happen. We are a lead department, then you must lead the department. These are the matters that we are looking at. We need to lead, for example, especially when we have oversight departments that we have and then the issue of consultants, I had similar issues. We have raised that on the face of it, this is not quantified to be what we are doing. We have agreed with the management that they must change the way they report on consulting. And then there is the issue of the mandating committee as well. So I mean, that one, that's the information. I will give you a copy also on that one. That subscribe in terms of the law, like the minister of education, all these co-funding departments that they get a copy with regard to the budget. I will give you a copy. Yeah, I'll give you a list of those members. They will just be a certain time. There was a question that says, who's responsible for ministerial persons? Yes, definitely the minister at L is the one that is responsible. The relevant branch that we represent, they are the of the person. At the end of the day, it's my overall responsibility. In case we're in, then the person is not answering. It's wrong. At the end of the day, I know you're going to hold me accountable, not just here. But the issue is that on that one, we see that there's been a challenge with the partner of the relationship with the department. That takes so long, certainly
persons are not responding adequately the way you allow them to be responded at the matter, then I and then on the information today, one allows you to do the government to achieve the financial the report that the government provides so that we test and that we see who got that and based on that. Because other issues that I was emphasizing out of my own observation within the entities in the department, including the CCSI, NSG, and the department. You remember, once you decide for yourself about what, there must be a portfolio of building the process of me. I've been indebted with the department way in my head of department and then I say really to the department that I'm giving you that. You cannot be then when you say you have the senior convention, you have to share it with the senior convention, somebody will be doing that in a very good portfolio. Another thing that I have to do is to close contact. You are spot on the point. As long as you don't address the issue to say who is responsible, that's the matter that you are dealing with, because you remember in other provinces, COPCA is responsible. Other provinces, DPSA is responsible. Other provinces, the Office of the Premier is responsible. And then there is a cabinet decision to that effect to say all these three ministries will sit down so that this matter gets finalized, so that then we will go together. But in terms of the policies, the DPSA is going to be responsible for the outcome, the upkeep, and all these things. That's the matter that we need. Now we are meeting with the Minister of Communication, the Minister of COPCA, and the Office of the Minister and the President to put that in the corner.
On that score also, if we can present, or I know when you make a presentation about the role of the Minister of the renewable electricity process,
Honorable Young Bloom, on the issue of the media statement, and then that was stopped, I believe that it didn't happen during my tenure. The matter, now I'm not aware of that restructuring thing that you are referring to. For the first time I'm hearing it from you. So every official that told me that, and then I think that's the matter that I'm going to investigate and come back to you. Maybe the official will help to present on that. I've never had anything since I came to the government talking about the restructuring. Yeah. It was after next meeting, whoever did that might be in the region, but where I'm sitting in the discipline is that it's never been such a discussion in the government, or it has never been such a topic that has been raised with that. I'm hearing it from you, but the next time I'm talking about it, I'm going to investigate also to that official, if you did that official,
never stop answering the questions. We need to know by whom, because I take full responsibility when it comes to Parliament. I've got that responsibility to account to Parliament, and if there's a question that you can have to me, definitely it's just but that's the matter that you can attend to me and attend. The issue of the governorship information is part of our mandate in terms of presidency, that we are responsible for the electronic government, also information management in the public service. And this is the one critical position that we cannot afford to miss, because I'm sure go and check in our website if you want to see. There's nothing written there. There's nothing, and there's a lot of work that is being done. Also, we are mindful of the fact that CETA moved with to telecom, that the issue of information management of the public service, if that process was being utilized maximally, like I'm indicating, this post has been vacant in a year, I don't know since when, since time immemorial. That's the issue that we said we're going to prioritize now, so that we fill the vacancies and then we skill people with the right requisites. Because the other issue is that one, then we are denying our people the opportunity to access, because SGPSA, we should be the center of government information. Whatever people want to get, once they click that website, they should be able to get information of how they get health facilities. That should be the center. It's one item that one is given, is giving attention. And I think come October we'll be able to come and report us to do the annual report on the progress that we need.
Faithful purpose.
Yes, definitely that one method that was neglected for quite some time. The rest, I think these are the methods that I take your recommendation, Honorable Lissouma, on issues that we need to report on people with disabilities. It's a nice answer. When I was analyzing some of the reports, some of the entities, I don't recall exactly whether it's CPSI or PSC, who have not yet even met the required consent. So we put it as a standing item that you also, when you report timely, we check on that. The issue of the declaration of interest, because we need to test this directive that we have in the government, whether they are being implemented, including the issue of the assessment of DC, I think is a priority area. And then when we go to cabinet reporting on this contract, we also be going to name and shame those that have not been complying in terms of that. I think the rest are technical questions which the DC and the CFO can.
Clarification on the ground with us, the issue of the minister. approach to say, give us names of people who specialize in these areas that are employed by yourself. So these people are public servants. So every time a department needs, for example, somebody who can assist with the crafting of charges, they say to us, can you assign somebody? Then we look in the pool and then we go to another department. Can you assign a person or a presiding officer or an employer representative within the state? So this is a pool of public servants. Obviously, it's not compulsory for departments to use it. So it might be that there are some departments that still go outside and so on and so on. But from a central position, the minister has established that centralized pool so that departments can assist each other. But I think also just for the record on the issue of the restructuring, certainly not from my office. There's no media statement on the restructuring of the public service. So I think the perhaps the further interrogation of this issue and investigation might then indicate where that might have emanated from. I think the rest of the issues I will leave to Kunyu Chatterton, the CFO, as they deal with the matters financially.
Thanks, Honorable Chair, Minister, Honorable Members, and colleagues. I'll first look at so much of the the question that was raised by Honorable Pandapal in terms of consultants, which she asked, what are the consultants doing? I think that will allow me to comment from Honorable Lamin about how we are putting the consultants about. I agree that it's a bit distorted because of the fact that we also report on monetary issues, which are not actually real consultants, like your audit fees, your audit committee payments, and your CETA payments. And indeed, the minister has indicated that in our previous meeting that we had with her and the deputy minister, we agreed that in the next quarter, what we're going to do, we're going to take away out all the monetary services, which are not real consultants, and only report on the real consultants. And that's where you can see the difference, and you can engage us on those. And I think it's very little amount that we're challenging on that. One of those would be under the Presidential Review Remuneration Commission, whether the internal Indian consultants in terms of their report. But I think in the next quarter, when we come back, the figure will be much lower because we have taken out all the mandatory services. And Honorable Gamin will indeed implement what you have requested. There's a question also from Honorable Lamini around the first quarter expenditure analysis, particularly on research and analysis, as well as government chief information office. That seems that the spending is a bit low. We have, as a department, at the beginning of the year, looked at the budget allocation, and particularly on the GCIO, which is the government chief information system. We requested them to give us the breakdowns of their budget as well in terms of how they're going to spend it. And part of their budget was actually adjusted in accordance to the project that they're going to implement. We are not worried at the moment in the first quarter about the pattern, particularly on these two programs, because it's in line with what they projected for the first quarter. But then in the second quarter, when we have our budget meeting, internal meetings, that's when we look at all the programs. And those who are not spending in terms of their projection, that's when we either interrogate and try and see if we can move money to programs that really need money. So in the first quarter, we're not much worried about how they're paying, because we just look at whether it's in line with their projection. Some of the programs normally find that there are real projects. Some of them start in the second quarter, some in the third quarter. It relates to the projection, how the project is like GPSA, for example. One of our projects, which is published this month, is in the second quarter, not in the first quarter. So the branch that is responsible for that, which is service delivery, their spending for first quarter and second quarter will be different. In the second quarter, it will be higher because of that part of the project. So that's just one example that we are giving. But we look monitor very well on the expenditure, the first budget, so that we don't understand and we don't overspend. The other question that the honourable member honourable asked was around the 16 million for the first quarter, whether that money was rolled over or was the first trigger. That is the money that when you close the books, you are not spending. The reason also is because out of that 16 million, 15 million relates to understanding on compensation of employees. Now, in terms of treasury regulations, you may not roll over understanding under compensation, so it was returned back to treasury.
Money to the government communication or the